Well, hello. Welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on Yo Bros. I'm Ronnie Karam, and with me today is the gorgeous, talented, thin, beautiful-eyed, beautiful-haired Mr. Ben Mandelker. Ben is on The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island, which you can find on YouTube, and he also does a podcast called Game Brain, which you can find anywhere you download your podcast. Okay. Today is the Crappy Awards. We are so excited. We're doing that after this. We're going to do this, and I'm going to maybe shave, although I'm kind of digging my gray beard. Yeah. Digging myself right now on the camera. We're going to do that, so if you want to come, come. It's right now, probably. And you can still watch it for a couple days after. So go get your tickets, and thanks for everybody who did get tickets. It's going to be an amazing show. And today we are here. You do that at watchwhatcrappens.com, by the way, to get tickets and stuff.
Yeah.
Also, today we are here with The Real Housewives of Orange County, Reunion Part 1. And what a day.
Wow, what a day. That's good. It was a good reunion. You know, it's only a two-parter, so we don't have any of the fluff. We don't have the silliness. It's just like, boom, let's cover all the topics.
Yeah, so let's just jump right into it, shall we? Do you have anything to say about your day or any, you know, pre-chatter?
Nope. No pre-chatter. I'm ready to go into the pre-reunion chatter, which is the ladies arriving at the reunion, and we just see Shannon go, what? I broke the director's chair. I'm totally fine with that. It's funny. It's funny that I broke the director's chair. I am not making that a reflection about myself or what's happened to me in coronavirus.
Have fun, Shannon! I've got space time! Shannon is in a 60s white outfit. She's kind of like, I don't know, like a go-go girl. She's very like laughing for any of you old people out there. Used to watch that.
I don't know. It read a little bit to me like Heather's Pioneer Ancestors on the top and then, you know, laughing on the bottom. It was a little bit of a strange look for me.
Yeah, it was a strange look for Shannon. That's for sure.
It was just like all the way up to her neck. It was just was not maybe a success.
The looks on this, you know, between Shannon and then you've got Bronwyn over there who described her look as like a Lara Croft like blonde ambition kind of thing. Listen, I love Lara Croft. I play me some Tomb Raider. I've always played Tomb Raider. Love it. You look like Lara Croft like the 30 times that I get smashed by the boulder before I finally make it across the tracks. Okay. It's not a good look. She looks crazy.
I don't know. She definitely gave me like late 90s, early aughts backup dancer in a video kind of look. Yeah. I was like, I don't know what that is really.
And she kept nervously yanking her ponytail. You know, whenever she gets called out, she starts doing the yanking on her ponytail thing. So it was a good prop. But Elizabeth, we see clips of the reunion, which I guess we don't need to go into since we're about to recap them. We see some clips and then Bronwyn is in the...
That's the best
craziest clip, and that's how the reunion ends. What are you talking about? I'm black, Kelly.
Yeah. Kelly Dolezal. So so there's all sorts of screaming. We also see Bronwyn strutting around in the parking lot with her look, and then Kelly just watching so angrily, like, she's so full of herself.
Yeah,
she's so full of herself.
Yeah, she is. Look at her. Just look at her there. The narcissism.
Ego.
So then we get into the actual reunion, and you know, Andy's greeting everyone like, hi Kelly, and Kelly now goes by Kelly Leventhal. Now she's no longer Kelly Dodd, she's Kelly Leventhal. We learned that.
Yeah, way to give it up to some man. Stupid. You should have kept your name. Yeah, give it up to some Fox reporter. You should have kept your name. Kelly Dodd is cute. Kelly Leventhal is not cute.
Oh yeah.
Hey, Jen and Storms, you're giving me a 60s vibe there. Eh? You gonna go dancing?
Well, you know, the 60s are my favorite era. And by 60, I mean that is the number of negative thoughts I like to have on a given day. 60. Thank you.
Gina, I feel like you figured out your hair. Which is rude.
Oh my God, I totally did. I totally figured it out. I figured out my hair. I was just like, gather a good barber, and I did.
And then, Emily, you look fantastic. What's the difference? What's the difference there? And she's like, well, Andy, I got in better shape. I lost some weight, got implants. New hip!
And Bronwyn, what are you going for with your look? And she's like, I'm totally rocking Lara Croft Tomb Raider lesbian chic, and I'm owning it. Did I mention I'm a lesbian now? I'm a lesbian. I'm a lesbian, mother.
And Elizabeth's like, I'm nervous, Andy. I'm nervous for my first reunion. And Gina's like, oh, yeah, it's your first time. You got a seatbelt. You better buckle your seatbelt. And I was like, why are you driving?
So, hey, we're at the Wilshire Ebell Theater in L.A. This is a stage that hosted Judy Garland, Dolly Parton, Michelle Obama, and Dr. Jill Biden. And now we're ruining it with the Real Housewives of Orange County.
What an odd thing to put in there. This theater is at Judy, Dolly. Also, some wives of President Michelle Obama and Jill Biden. It's like, you know, okay. Yeah, you're denigrating it even further with that, you know.
We've had Michelle Obama here, and now a woman who pioneered cream cheese and salmon, Shannon Bedore.
So, yeah. And Bron was like, yeah, we're on the stage with legends. He's like, well, last season, Gina called Bronwyn self-involved. So this season, Bronwyn hurled insults and glasses at Lemonade Boys. And so we go into that whole montage of Gina versus Bronwyn.
Could they ever be friends? And then Andy, when we came out of the segment, Andy switched it up. He, instead of saying, wow, a lot to unpack here, he said, wow, lots to digest here. I was like, okay, that's all right, fun twist.
Someone took a note over there. He's like, yeah, I do say packet a lot. I'm going to say digest now. But then he did add in another Housewives trope. He's like, let's discuss the elephant in the room. How was your sad small house, Gina? And she's like, oh, come on. I love my home, literally. And I think everyone else here does, too. And they're like, yes. You know, while they, like, pass around a hat with putting dollars in it to hand to Gina.
And hey, did Bronwyn see the house herself? And Bronwyn's like, no, but I did hear about it from Shannon. And Shannon goes, huh, well, so fucking unbelievable. Unbelievable.
This is a big reunion for Shannon's face. I mean, Shannon's face really is winning this.
Yeah, she definitely has like a sock puppet. What? So Judy from Judytown says, Shannon, when you were touring Gina's house, you looked like you were faking a smile the whole time. You kept saying nice over and over again. Did you really think it was nice, or did you just not know what to say?
I looked around. I thought, look how darling it is that she has a bunk bed in the kitchen. That's darling. That's so darling.
Well, so you bathe your children in the garage. That is, oh, that's adorable. That's great.
I told John Jansen, I said, I am so proud that she's a friggin' owner. I mean, we just rent, and she's an owner. And you know, you have to make sacrifices when you own. For instance, you have to put some children in the bathroom for their bedroom. That's just a sacrifice, and I'm so proud of her. I am so proud.
Now, was it the first time that I had seen a giant Folgers can being used as a poop pot? Yes, it is.
Yup. Yup.
You know what? You know what, Bronwyn? You're good at deflection. You're good at deflection, Bronwyn.
So, so then she's, she keeps talking, and she even says that when she went over to Bronwyn's house to make amends with Kelly at the beginning of the season, that Bronwyn went on and on and on asking why Gina's even on the show.
Yeah, and Bronwyn was like, I did not. And Emily says, I don't fucking lie, and neither does Kelly. And Shannon's like, oh, hey, I'm in on that too. I'm included in on that too, Emily, by the way. I am not a liar. And Emily's like, I didn't say you are. She's like, well, you said that you and Kelly weren't liars, but you did not include me in that. And she's like,
wasn't about you, Shannon, okay?
So then Kelly jumps in, and she's like, I don't lie! Okay, Gina, the text you got from Sean wasn't exactly NC-17. Why did you think he was coming on to you? Like, because it did kind of seem like he was coming on to her. Why are you acting like it was so crazy? And Gina's like, well, it wasn't just based on the text. You know, I know that that was the love shack where all the stuff goes, Danny Indy.
Can I say something? I'm doing some windshield wipers, which indicate that I have things to say. I was there the night that it all happened. I was in the room that it happened. Okay. And Sean had to walk you out of the restaurant because you had drank too much. And I said, you're not going to take this shot. You're not going to take this shot. And you took the shot. Okay. And I think that he sent you the text because he was concerned that you were hammered.
And, you know, Shanna's just getting that in there, not to really stick up for Bronwyn because she hates the bitch, but she's just saying that so she can point out that other people are drunk, too, before it gets to the Shannon alcoholism section, you know?
And that she's a good friend.
Yes. So Gina's like, well, I think that now, but he was texting me from that apartment, telling me his wife is, you know, and Andy cuts in. He's like, well, you know, Bronwyn, you have said that you brought other women in. And she's like, yeah, but when it comes to threesomes, it was never Sean inviting people in. That was me. Okay. Today, I would like to proudly come out as a lesbian, Andy. I'm a proud lesbian woman.
Bronwyn is basically like everyone at my performing arts sleepaway camp that I went to when I was 14. Yeah. Let's just face it.
Like, wait, you already came out as a lesbian this year and kind of last year when you said you preferred women over men on national television. She's like, thank you, Andy. I'm proud to lead the movement, Andy. I am a lesbian. Thank you.
I am a lesbian, and just to prove it, I would like to perform on my own for the variety show. Thank you. On my own. It's like, Bronwyn, you're not a Ben's summer camp variety show. Stop it.
So, oh my God, was I at your summer camp? Because you know that was me as a child.
I'm surprised you weren't.
I'm like, I will be singing the Norma Desmond 11 o'clock number from Sunset Boulevard. And they were like, Ronnie, really?
That's what it was like, honestly. When it was the variety show, it was like a very long evening of tween girls singing Les Mis for hours and hours.
Or Ronnie.
And then you have like a random. And then you have like a random.
I don't know why I'm frightened. I know my way around here.
You haven't lived until you've seen like 3 12-year-old girls get on stage together and go, I have a castle in my head. And you're like,
So, Emily, you seem to be playing both sides with Gina and Bronwyn. What about that?
She's like, well, I was in a really difficult position, Andy. You know, I was asked not to say anything, but I grew up poor. And so when Bronwyn makes comments like socioeconomic comments, like her condo's small, that goes to my core, Andy.
It's like, okay, so now you're going to cry on the I was poor one time? Come on.
This was hilarious of Emily. And it's like, I think I've been waiting for Emily to have a really ridiculous melodramatic moment because she's like, I didn't grow up with money. So when you make fun of another woman because she doesn't live in a big enough house, I'm pissed. I'm like, I don't know.
She's ridiculous. Well, you know, she's saying that because she was getting a lot of pushback from people when she's like, it doesn't matter if you live in a mansion. This is still really hard. And people are like, how dare you? So now she's like, I was poor one night, Andy, and I'm going to cry about it right now. And guess what? Some people are still poor, and it's okay. It's okay. You don't have to sob about it, okay?
Yeah.
Jeez.
So Bronwyn's like, well, I was lashing out, you know, and, you know, I was, you know, and, like, deflecting, and I was angry, and da-da-da-da-da, but then, you know, but Gina has actually been really wonderful. She starts praising Gina, and then Shannon's looking away like, I guess I'm not wonderful. I guess I'm just the lying Shannon Medora over here, just not being wonderful.
Yeah.
I will do some chill wipers to show how unwonderful I am.
Bronwyn is doing the thing where she's just like horrible. And then every time she's called out, she goes, oh, well, you know what? I'm sorry. I was wrong. Which is supposed to negate everything that she did. And it makes me fucking crazy when people do that. And she does it on every single thing. And so I'm glad that they don't let her get away with it at all during this reunion. Because she's like, you know what? I was lashing out. You're a great mother. You totally did not deserve that. I was a horrible person when I did that. Absolutely terrible. And I apologize. And Kelly's like, yeah! And Gina goes, yeah, it's hard to believe you stand for women when that's how you classify them. And she goes, yeah, well, you know, I get that. You're right. And they just keep going at it like, yeah, you do suck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Shannon has her like ace in the hole for her legal argument. She's like,
I just want to say that I never said that her house was sad or depressing. And first of all, you said sad or depressing. You couldn't even remember. Was it sad or depressing? I was like, good one, Shannon. Yeah. That's a really strong case.
And Bronwyn's like, sad or depressing. I understand that that's a really big deal for you, Shannon. She's like,
no! Do you know that I could have quashed this, Bronwyn, because you put the fucking lies in my mouth, and I'm not going to bend over and say it because I didn't.
And she's like, well, I'm not going to bend over and say that you didn't say it because that's what I remember.
Yeah.
Well, it's bullshit that you think that you're sober and that your mind is clear. That's what I say.
And then she's like, well, Sean was there too. And, well, Kelly, well, Sean will defend you no matter what.
Yeah, he's an enabler. You've already said he's an enabler. Yeah, you know what? He's in cahoots. He's in cahoots.
Okay. Somewhere Heather Ray Young from Selling Sunset was like, is that a word? Cahoot? Cahoot?
So Gina's like, you know what? I can tell you what I believe. When Shannon was in my home, she was very happy and very supportive, okay? And Andy's like, all right. So Gina and Bronwyn. And Bron was like, well, she basically said, you know, we're still trying to be friends. I mean, here's what Gina said to me. She sent me a text, and she basically said, I still think you're an asshole, but I'll be there for you if you need me. So you know what? I'm going to be there for that girl no matter what. And Andy's like, what about you, Gina? And she's like,
no, we don't have a relationship. It's so one-sided with her. Cahoots.
And Bronwyn's like, thank you. So now it's the Shannon and John segment. So we have this whole video package where we see like their life over the past season, et cetera. And it sort of is funny seeing it all together. It makes me realize that there's so much that we are not privy to because things just sort of like happen. And they're not, it's like, if you really think about it, it's like something is wrong here. Like when she's like, well, you know, I don't know if it was in this segment or a COVID segment. I don't know. But where she's like, well, you know, I said, Joe, you can't leave the house. If you're going to be in this house, you can't leave the house. And these are the rules. And then he left the house. And then John left the house too. Huh? And there are things were said. I'm like, you know, it wasn't just like, oh, he just left the house. You know, there was some shit brewing under the surface with these two.
Shannon just goes fucking crazy on people. And we've seen it. But I think they cut a lot of that stuff out of Shannon's. Like, I don't know, to protect her or if they're just like, this is way too much even for Bravo, you know. But we've seen her go freaking crazy before. Remember when she, in these last couple episodes, when she went to John and she's like,
well, I'm kind of awkward because, you know, we fought. And I said, shut the fuck up and then get the fuck out of my house. And, you know, that was bad. And he's like, who cares? You want a drink or whatever?
But Shannon was acting so tail between her legs. Yeah, it must have been really bad.
Yeah. And the way she would carry on about how she was so nervous about their relationship, but we didn't really see any indication that anything was wrong, makes you realize some shit happened, I think, in quarantine that got real dark.
Yeah. So Andy's like, well... Oh, and he goes, well, how is John? How long have you been together now? And Shannon's like, well, last week, it was a year and a half. Exactly. Not that I'm counting. Now it's a year and a half and 3 days and 7 hours and 2 minutes and 4 seconds. Andy, I'm not counting. But Shannon!
Well, we've been together 18 months, although I don't know if we've quite hit 18 months if we deduct the 3 weeks that John wasn't talking to me because he wore his boots inside the foyer during coronavirus. That was totally unacceptable.
Well, Sophie said she was worried because he couldn't take care of you financially or emotionally. What do you think of that?
She's like, well, you know, Sophie is very opinionated and no longer has homemade
organic beds at college. So Sophie's been sleeping on the floor. And listen, you know, look, it was during coronavirus. It was very difficult. And David, the ex, won't even communicate with me or co-parent. I haven't met his new girl. He has not met mine. It is very hard, Andy. Fun Shannon!
Fun Shannon! I mean, have I clashed with John's kids? Yes. Has he clashed with mine? Yes. Do I give out organic headboards to my favorite of the stepchildren? Of course. But we're happy. We're a happy, happy family.
And he's like, well, how did the kids feel about their step siblings? And she's like, oh, it can be awkward, Andy. And Brahma goes, yeah, Andy, basically, it's just it's a big cliche, Andy. And Jean goes, oh, yeah, it's painfully cliche, like what your husband did to you. And Shannon's like,
yeah, because I think Andy was actually asking about the fact that David's having a new baby, and that's what was the cliche was about, not the stepkids. And yeah, I don't think that Shannon was totally realized she was living a cliche Orange County
yeah
storyline.
Husband
basically
leaves you for a younger, you know, skinny blonde lady, cuts you off, tries to cut your money out, you know, like has a baby with her, and they're like, oh yeah, that's just a cliche. And she was so mad. Her side eye was so funny.
And Shannon.
So does Gina, do you think that the drinking causes problems in Shannon's relationship? She's like, absolutely. And then Shannon's like,
well, you know what? When I called you about John, I didn't really have a lot of friends to call. I mean, who else in my life? I mean, there's you, there's Emily, there's a cardboard cutout of Tamara from when we were friends that I call sometimes. There is the MyPillow guy. Sometimes I'll call him.
Mrs. Moon. I mean, Mrs. Moon, but she's very, very busy.
And Gina's like, but I did call you. We had a conversation. You called me completely lit up.
You know, I don't even know the extent of the things you... I don't even know if you know the extent of the things you said, Shannon. And she's like, well, I was with John every day, and I didn't know whether I was going to see him again. I didn't know whether I was ever going to see him again.
Just this thing where she puts her fingers in the middle of her eyeballs and then just starts pushing her eyeballs in.
I mean, I didn't know whether one of us was going to get sick, and it was just absolutely devastating. I mean, what do you do when you don't have a man to get your daily meat? What do you do? What do you do?
Why don't you just call me? And Gina's like, you were alarming, okay? You were wasted. I mean, it was like my relationship.
Which is the problem. Everyone's projecting their own relationships onto each other. Gina's like, you're in an abusive relationship, because I was in an abusive relationship, you know? And so she's like, it's my relationship, and your stuff comes from the past, and then it gets worse, you know? And so I see that happening with you. And Shannon's like, oh, okay, Miss Holier Than Thou to studio apartment. And she's like, no, I'm not being holier than thou, you know, I'm just saying, like, what is an appropriate response to someone when they're being hysterical, you know?
Yeah. And Emily's like, well, you know, when you drink and then call, we do get concerned for you, you know. Which I just think it's funny that now we're going on to like several seasons of this thing where Shannon gets drunk and just like bothers her friends incessantly and then denies that she has any problem. Yeah. So then Andy asks Bronwyn why she said that John had some sort of problem with booze. And Bronwyn's like, well, you know, I had a conversation with Shannon at her house and she pulled me aside and she told me some things that hit close to home for, you know, how I was at the end of when I quit drinking.
Projection.
John hates golf. John hates golf. He doesn't play golf. He hasn't seen his father in 30 years. His father's an actual golf ball. They actually went to Epcot, and he said, that is your grandfather. And John, he hates it. He hates it.
Bronwyn's like, well, listen, I'd heard some things. And Shannon's like, well, then just call me. And she goes, well, you had me cut out, Shannon, so I couldn't call you because you cut me out. And Shannon's like, well, you know what? You want to talk about John Jansen. John Jansen, who has a company called John Jansen, whose phone number is 585 John Jansen, who has partners who are partners of John Jansen. It is not good. He deserves his privacy. John Jansen. It's like, maybe stop like blaring his name so much publicly if you want him to have it.
I know. Last I checked, I felt like alcoholism is almost a prerequisite for men in business. I don't know. So, I mean, listen, I watch Mad Men. So Andy's like, well, we did invite John to come, but he chose not to come. He said something about a golf tournament and free vodka. So who knows?
Said his dad's waiting outside to pick him up to go to a golf tournament. And John is like, well, he is a very private person, John Jansen. And it was a lot for him to even agree for John Jansen to be on camera. Andy?
Well, Ariana from Los Feliz says that she just picked up some local coffee beans and some broccolini from the farmer's market. And she also has to say, do you think Shannon has a problem with alcohol? And then Brahman, of course, is like, I'm going to nod in a very big way to show that I took acting class at
performing arts camp right now. Yes, big.
I am an alcoholic, and therefore, yes, my judgment is. I hate that. It's like, Ronnie, you're gay. Is that guy gay? Like, how the fuck would I know? Is dick in my mouth? Where are you asking me?
That being said, Shannon definitely does not have maybe the healthiest of relationship with alcohol. But listen, that's going to be up for Shannon, because that's, I mean, it's like Shannon, Dorinda, Ramona, all these people, Luann, should they be drinking? Probably not. But as long as they're going to be on TV and they're going to be in denial, let them just stay in denial until they hit their rock bottom. Yeah,
the general rule is you don't get to tell someone they're an alcoholic. Like, someone has to come to that conclusion and want to make that change themselves. Like, no one, you're not allowed to say, like, you're an alcoholic. So it's annoying being like, does she have a problem with alcohol? Local expert. And Bronwyn's like, yes, Andy, yes, I might go to school one day to teach people something about, I don't know, something about alcohol. It's going to make me look really good on Instagram, Andy, but yes, I do. Yes, I do.
And Shannon has the most, like, alcoholic response.
I'm fun. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm fun. I'm the life of the party.
I'm fun. It's me. Shannon.
I'm fun. I'll never see my boyfriend John Jansen again because I'm fun.
She actually did this at one point where she was moving her fist around like she was holding sparklers on the 4th of July. Look at me. I'm spelling fun with sparklers. I'm fun.
It's fun.
So then we go on break. And when we come back, Shannon is in her makeup chair and she's on the phone with John. And she's like, well, you know, it happened, John. It happened, John Jansen. We started getting into our issues, and Bronwyn is a flipping nightmare. She's walking around like she's in some music video. She's naked under her dress. It's flipping weird. It's flipping weird.
She's naked under those clothes. She's naked under those clothes.
So, but then, to be fair, Bronwyn is like, how's my ass look? How's my ass look? And Sean's like, well, I think it's hard for your ass to look bad. I'm like, okay, well, it's great that the spirit of Tamara and Eddie are still here.
Yeah, no kidding. Bathtub scene in 3, 2. John tells her, listen, Bronwyn is a sober alcoholic who wants to point fingers at everyone else, calling them alcoholics. And that's wrong of her.
Hold on, I got a duck. Hey, get that golf cart out. I'm standing here. Get that golf cart out of the way.
And Shannon tells him, well, you and I have talked about it, but if she keeps on with this sober stuff, I am bringing up the Stella issue. I am.
Which is the fact that I have not gotten my delivery of Stella's for the day. So,
Andy's, and we all know anyone who has internet capabilities knows what the secret is already. And it's horrifying. It's horrifying and also in a housewives way, like amazing. Like, wow, they really do keep topping themselves on Housewives, I have to say.
When you think
you've seen, it's like, oh, vaginal rejuvenation again, or like cryotherapy. It's like it's over and over, and you're like, they're never going to be able to top themselves. And it's like, you offered my daughter Coke at a party.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
You offered my daughter Coke at a party.
I actually had done a really good job of burying my head in the sand, because I knew something came up and there was going to be some terrible thing, but I didn't really know what it was until I got someone tweeted at me and someone else, and then they were like, I can't believe she offered her cocaine. I was like, oh, okay. Well, I guess it's like faux spoiled, because it wasn't really a spoiler, because it's like, who cares? But I was like, oh, I wanted to surprise myself to find out what the cliffhanger was.
Yeah. And then Shannon, they threw us off the trail because someone wrote Bronwyn an Instagram message and said, did you really do this? Did you really offer Stella Coke? And Bronwyn wrote back, well, I don't remember because I was drinking then, which is so enough already. Okay. You don't just get a pass for everything in your life because you drank a lot one time, you know, or during a period. That's ridiculous. And she said, but
unless you're on Real Housewives of New York.
Yeah. But, you know, I heard from someone who I trust way more than Shannon. And this isn't a quote, I'm not reading it, but she said, I heard from someone who was there that's not how it happened. And I really trust this person. Like, whatever. Since when don't you remember anything when you're drunk? You remembered everything that happened last year when you were drunk. You go over all of the drunken fights you had arguments for the whole time. So I don't know. But then we were thrown off the trail because someone wrote to Shannon and said, oh, my God, someone offered Sophie Coke. And she said, no, no one ever offered Sophie Coke. So people then the rest of the week were like, then what is it? What is it?
Well, it's still not fully articulated that it's Coke, at least right now on the show, I should say.
Right. She didn't offer her Coke. She offered her the number of a dealer, which is different.
So, well, we'll get to that. So so now we have the COVID segment, the official COVID segment. And what's the first thing that you guys want to do once COVID is done? And everyone's like, travel, travel, oh, unbelievable, undeniable, travel. And then as they're talking, Kelly's like, she's just like coughing.
And it's just like, it's just like it happens to the rest of us in the real world when somebody coughs. Everybody just stares at her like, dun, dun, dun. And then they get back to normal and she coughs again. And they're like, dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. And then someone sent in this question. And I have to believe this came from a Russian bot because I cannot imagine a human would actually take the time to like think this and then write it, which is, quarantining at your house seemed fun, Emily. I was like, did it? Hey, what was the biggest fight you and Shane had? So then Emily's like, well, I mean, it was like something about me and my parenting that he made said something about my parenting in front of the kids. And I freaking lost it. I slammed every door in the house and got in the car and drove away. But there was nowhere to turn. So I just turned back. I'm like, so and then you got so mad that he made fun of your parenting that you
abandoned
created
your
a hysterical scene, slammed every door, made loud noises and probably frightened your children and then tried the best that you could to abandon them for the rest of their lives.
Great job. Everyone stares at Kelly again. So, Kelly, speaking of Kelly, we heard you say so many things about masks. And, Kelly, go on. What is your stance on masks? It's like, well, I mean, I hate masks, but I guess everybody hates masks, you know. But I wear one because everyone has to. But, like, do your pants, like, help you protect you from a fart? I don't know. Do they? Do pants protect you from farts? Do they or not?
And there you have it. The frontline defense. Like, this is why you shouldn't wear a mask. Well, okay, how about this? Do pants protect you from a fart? No. Does that mean you don't wear pants?
Yeah.
Is that how that works? Yeah. And by the way, that's not how this – I mean, just so everyone knows, the science of masks is not – that's not like the logic that works for masks. Just so everyone knows, it's that the molecules – get blocked on the fibers inside the mask. The masks are designed a certain sort of way. Just
yes, and just the same with fart. What if you have a wet fart or something and you're wearing pants, then your wet fart doesn't get on me. You see? So I did get protected by your pants.
Yes.
With your fart. So thank you for answering that question, Dr. Slouchy. Okay.
Kelly, try to shart without pants on and try to shart with pants on and tell us what the difference is in your immediate surroundings.
Absolute ding dong. So Bronwyn's like, oh, so he says, well, Bronwyn did an interview that you weren't taking COVID seriously. And Bronwyn's like,
She's like,
I did it.
Big nod. This is for you, Stella Adler.
I am deep throat, Andy. I would like to come out of the closet. I am deep throat, Andy.
I mean, I said some things that I regret, and I feel bad for anyone who's lost loved ones. I mean, do I take it seriously? Yeah, but I was also frustrated. I mean, does a fart not have a right to get out of the pants? Am I right?
And Andy's like, all right, and how many trips did you take in the first 6 weeks of the virus? And she's like, well, listen, I went because I was reconstructing Rick's apartment. It's like, you guys were like organizing shit into Crate and Barrel boxes, Kelly, okay? Reconstructing Rick's apartment. And she's like, I was with my fiance getting business taken care of, Andy.
Yeah. Well, your behavior on the show and on social media really outraged people.
Well, my fan base is building, okay? I haven't lost any followers, okay? Because you know what happens? You got a bunch of people farting. You know what you get? A windstorm, okay? Kelly Dodd. Kelly Dodd. At Kelly Dodd.
Well, I mean, the amount of messages that I get that you're uneducated, putting out misinformation. She's like, whoa, what? What, did I want businesses to open up? Texas and Florida are open. They're doing fine. And he's like, and that you're behaving like a moron. What do you think about that one? It's like, wow.
And then Kelly, she's like, well, I get them too. I get them that you're anti-American and that you
put your political beliefs out there and they don't want to watch the show, a political show.
And at first I thought she was talking about, like, she gets messages like that about herself. And then it became very evident that she was talking about people complaining about Andy to her. And so then, and then this is the best. When Andy goes from like, hey, to being like, I will destroy you. He's like, I'm anti-American because I don't like Donald Trump. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, and she's like, yeah! She's like, yeah! Because for him, that's supposed to be like, ew, yeah, got you. And she's like, yes, exactly! I get a ton of those messages! And he goes, okay, well, you said that COVID was a way of thinning the herd. And then this Instagram message comes up of Kelly saying, it's God's way of thinning the herd!
Like it literally says, it's God's way.
Two exclamation points, and then it cuts back to Kelly, and she's like, well, I mean, I was asked that because old people were dying, and I mean, it was a dumb thing to say, but I mean, I put into question, I was saying, is it God's way of thinning the herd? Is it God's way of thinning the herd?
You were not asking a question. Also, old people dying is not God's way of thinning the herd. That old people dying are like, that's part of the natural and unfortunate like cycle of life. Thinning the herd is when it's like, you know, young people with like a lot of life ahead of them. That's thinning the herd. So we'd be like, yeah, old people are dying and we're thinning the herd. I'm like, no, the herd is, that's not the herd that we're talking, that's not the part of the herd we're concerned about, you know?
Well, your mom ends up in ICU with COVID. She goes, no, she didn't go to ICU for COVID. She went there because her blood sugar was out of whack. And he's like, so she
didn't? She was like farting and it smelled sweet. And I was like, aren't your pants protecting your sweet farts? Your sugar must be wrong.
So she didn't go to the ICU? Yeah, she did, but she didn't have a respirator or anything. She didn't have any, like, symptoms. And he's like, okay, well, you know, I've heard so much negativity about you, but it's not about you on the show. It's all about you on social media. And people were wanting to boycott the show. I mean, I haven't seen anything like it. And, you know, I've hired Lisa Rinna, Brandy Glanville.
I mean, we had Leanne Locken on, Catherine Dennis, everything. Was there a time you thought, gosh, you know what? I'm not going to post this. And she's like, oh, Gina's like, no.
Yeah.
Didn't it give you pause? Like, don't you ever think like, maybe you should pause? And she's like, listen, I feel like shit. I feel horrible. You're making it worse. I feel terrible. Stop.
Yeah. She starts crying, which, like, I guess I get that you're crying because it must hurt to have, like, millions of people saying, fuck you, lady. But also, you say it. It's like if you're going to have the balls to say stuff like that and then stand behind it and then fight about it on social media, you don't get to cry now. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel for you while you're fucking crying.
Exactly. You know? Now she's going to cry. So Andy's like, Andy's like, but aren't you worried that you're going to be on the wrong side of history? Aren't you worried that 100 years from now, your tombstone's going to say stupid face agreed on by America? Aren't you worried about that? She's like, so what do you want from me?
Yeah, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to say now? What do you want? So then she's like, I'm sorry for hurting people's feelings. That wasn't my intent. And Bronwyn's like, well, you have an amazing opportunity right now. Andy, I would like to come out of the closet as someone who will no longer put up with Kelly Dodd denying COVID. There, I'm leading the movement, Andy. Leading the movement.
Although, I mean, Bronwyn does have a point that this is like, it's like, Kelly, this is your moment to say, you know what? I was wrong and I learned something, you know? And then she says that and Kelly goes, I did. You know what? I've got friends. They got their businesses. They're not coming back. They can't feed their kids. You know, like when their kids fart, their pants fall off. It's just their rag tags. People are becoming alcoholics or divorces. People are killing themselves. You know, like, okay, great. Now, Emily, let's talk about Shane.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. So then we talk about Shane being sick from it and not calling her and her thinking he's dying. And he's like, did you talk to your kids about the possibility that Daddy might not come back? And she's like, no, you know, but I did think I might have to sell the house and move back to Ohio. I was like, why? I don't understand that. Doesn't he not work? Or I guess he does work, right? Just not as a lawyer.
I guess maybe she just didn't want to downsize. She'd rather just move to Ohio than downsize in Orange County.
I guess. But it's just interesting, you know, that she put that out there. Like, no, it wasn't like your daddy's not coming back. It's like your daddy's not coming back and we're going to be poorer. you know, which is horrible. But yeah, that was actually really sad. I shouldn't joke about that. So Andy's like, well, you got a lot of support from Shannon. You know, what did you see from Shannon? And she's like, oh, yeah, she was very compassionate, you know, not only for me and my family, but for Shane. You know, she called me every single day. And for that, I will always be grateful to that beautiful alcoholic sitting over there across from me.
I refer to myself as the fun but compassionate friend.
So, hey, now it's time for an Elizabeth segment where we get to see all this stuff about Elizabeth. And, hey, Elizabeth, so you're new. So what were your impressions of Gina and Shannon, the only two women he didn't know? And she's like, well, I was told that Gina would eat me alive, okay? And Shannon, too, all right? And Shannon's like, me?
But I'm fun. Why would I eat you alive? I'm so fun. I'm fun.
And she was pleasantly surprised that they were actually kind of nice to her. And Andy asked her if she donated the Ferrari. She's like, well, I will, Andy, I will. And Gina's like, that's not donating. God, I can't get off of that. Poor family waiting here. I'm still first on the list, all right? I already took my number.
Yeah. By the way, she says the reason why she was afraid of Shannon is because people on Instagram were warning her to be afraid of her. So then, which I think I might come back to on a point, but I'm not sure if I will. We'll see. So, hey, how's your sex life with Jimmy? And she's like, well, Jimmy's an introvert and,
His family is a conservative Mexican family, Andy.
But for you to say that you're still in love with your ex-husband and you sent him the heart emoji, I mean, that's where I didn't understand it.
And do you still love your ex-husband? And Kelly's like, good question, Andy! And Andy goes, thanks, Kelly.
Yeah, thanks, Kelly. Yeah, because basically, Elizabeth is like, well, he's an introvert, and then he was, like, mortified by the way everyone was, like, you know, dogging me about, like, our sex life. And they're like,
dogging? We never, what, us?
It's like, you guys hounded Elizabeth about this and made fun of it in all your interviews the entire season long. And they're like, us? No, we never did that.
Yeah. So then she's like, well, I'll always love him. You know, like he took me out of a bad place. Yeah. We spent 20 years together. He really grounded me and gave me structure. And Kelly's like, yeah, he gave you experiences. And Bronwyn goes, well, I have a good friend who's friends with him and his fiance. And Elizabeth's like, my ex? Really? He has a fiance? Bronwyn really is.
And Shannon's like,
non-fun one over there, the non-fun one.
And Bronwyn's like, yeah, they've been together 5 years. And Elizabeth's like, well, they're not engaged, first of all. She goes, uh-huh, they went traveling all over this summer, and then they called me, and he got on the phone, and their story is very different from her story, Andy. Like, you really are, like, the lowest. you really are fucking low. Oh, my God. You're going to come on here and say, oh, I'm so sorry for, you know, for everything I did to you, Elizabeth. By the way, got on the phone with your ex-husband. Here's the thing.
I mean, yes. Yeah, for sure. Bronwyn is totally being an asshole and being hypocritical. But I think all these women are being hypocritical in this situation because all these women have looked up shit on each other, and they've all engaged in gossip. Kelly last season, the whole thing with Kelly was that Tamara and Shannon were mad at her because she called up Jim Bellino, who they were in a court case with.
Yeah.
So they all are kind of like bad about this. Where Bronwyn goes wrong is her delivery is terrible. She's like, well, I heard, blah, 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 blah. You know, she's like very like, like kind of prissy about it. So she loses people there. And
she loses it with her false apologies and her like, well, I'm really sorry. I'm going to work on this. And then meantime, you're, you know, like getting shit on her to bring to the reunion from the ex-husband.
Yeah. Where Bronwyn really, like, the thing is this, one of the cardinal sins you could commit on Bravo is to be two-faced or to be perceived as two-faced. That is honestly, if you look at the amount of vitriol that was reserved for Malia, for Captain Sandy, for what's her face on Southern Charm, Landon, people like that. People like, if you sort of like look at the large scheme of the terrible things that people have done in their lives or in the world or on Bravo, like they haven't really been like horrific. Like Landon didn't invite Catherine to a party once, but people can't stand her because she's like two-faced, and that two-faced thing is like too real for all of us. And that's where Bronwyn is really, that's where she is getting tripped up, because everything she's doing is coming off as super two-faced. And so it doesn't matter if Shannon has looked up shit on other people, because she clearly has, by the way. She even said earlier in this episode, like, well, Shannon's talked behind people's back as much as everyone else, but Bronwyn's the one coming off as two-faced, and she's never going to win this one.
Yeah, and they're all mad at Bronwyn and yelling at her and stuff, and my captions just say, crosstalk. Even the caption writer was like, fuck this. Like, they put their hands in the air. And so Elizabeth is like, well, you can defend him all you want, because apparently you're friends with my ex. And Bronwyn's like, my friend is. I mean, what do you want? They called me when I was with her. It was just a coincidence.
See, by the way, I love a messy-ass housewife who does call and get the information. Like, I love when Ramona does that. Ramona does that shit all the time. Oh, I heard that Leah, she's bipolar and schizophrenic and also borderline personality state and all that stuff. And she just does it, and you're like, you're awful and hilarious, you know? But, I just think that Bronwyn is just not doing it the right way.
So Elizabeth's like, well, I feel sorry for his new girlfriend, because then Bronwyn cuts in and she goes, his fiance. And they're like, come on! She goes, why do you have to correct it? And she goes, because they've been together 5 years. Did you guys not hear that part? And Elizabeth goes, you are mean! And Bronwyn's like, you have lied to me many times. And she's like, well, I didn't lie to you. You just didn't know the truth. Which
is just hilarious. Yeah, let's not forget that Elizabeth is like a serial liar. That's what's so funny here, is that like Bronwyn is coming off as two-faced, but Elizabeth is the serial liar, but Bronwyn's sort of like the one that everyone's like, ew, fuck her, you know? So Elizabeth is like, oh, don't judge me with your cynical behavior and your narcissism and your backlashes and your two-faced personality. Unbelievable, hypocritical. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Narcissism and plagiarism and catechism and algorithm.
You're not my friend, and I didn't want to be on the trail with you in Arrowhead because I knew you were a backstabbing bitch.
Fuck you, Bronwyn. It's just wrong, and you're not my friend. And I was like, damn, Elizabeth. Okay, Elizabeth has earned another year. You know, she can come
back. She earned her season. Good for you.
So Bronwyn's like, I'm not a backstabbing bitch. Like, you are. And she says, I'm the only one here that's like, and she goes, oh, there she goes. Me, 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 me. It's all me with Bronwyn. Always me. Oh, yeah, you want, there's a Bronwyn pedestal. Should I bow down to you on your Bronwyn pedestal?
I love Shannon saying, it's all about me, me, me with Bronwyn when, like, it's like 15 minutes earlier. Oh, am I? I also don't lie. I also don't lie. What about me? I also don't lie.
So why did Bronwyn look into Elizabeth's finances? And Shannon goes, oh, I want to hear this story. So Bronwyn's like, well, I go on a walk with Shannon, and I hear that Elizabeth's a nice girl, but she's full of shit. And I said, well, what are you talking about? And she said, well, we'll talk in 2 weeks, because that's when COVID hit. So, you know, and Shannon's like, that is so wrong. That is so, no, 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 no.
That is windshield wipers are wrongness. Windshield wipers.
So Bronwyn said, listen, so I called my girlfriend, and one girlfriend had actually already done a title search. And Shannon's like,
no one's giving me a chance to speak. It's all about Bronwyn. I need a chance to speak. It's me, me, me. I need a chance to speak.
So, and by the way, where's this $2 million loan on my house? Because I'd love to get some money.
Yeah. So Shannon goes,
when Elizabeth was announced as a cast member, my phone and text rang off the hook. And everyone said she's full of shit. And I said, I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to judge you. And then when we're on the hike, people were like, oh, things aren't adding up. And I thought, maybe there's something to this. I'm like, you're literally saying the exact same thing Bronwyn said. You literally are saying it, but in a much better way. So that way people are like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. And Elizabeth's like, yeah, that makes sense. And Bronwyn's like, I just did a Google search. What the hell are you guys? I mean, and a title search, which you're blaming on your friend. But I mean, it does go a little deeper than a Google search. So Elizabeth is like, well, you know what? Oh, no, Elizabeth. She's like, she says she's building up women. You are tearing down women, ma'am. And she's like, well, I hold women accountable. There's a difference. It's like, it's like, what? You're like the opposite of Gloria Steinem.
Yeah, and then Elizabeth goes, worst lesbian ever. Which was like, I feel like was she saying that like lesbians have to lift up other lesbians or other women? So, and he goes, all right. Bronwyn, you're an alcoholic. Let's look. So we watch like the year of Bronwyn's journey, which also includes a little bit of Jacob and his drag journey. And so when we come back, we learn that, you know, he's doing great. He has a great community online, and he's not getting bullied in school, which is great because he's going to a performing arts school, much like my summer camp. And when he walked in heels, people were like, nice heels, which is also something that would be so like my summer camp. So basically I'm reliving what it was like to be 14 and 15 through Bronwyn's storyline.
And Andy's like, so being on the show actually helped your sobriety? And she said, yeah, you know, it held me accountable. And she's 10 months into her sobriety, and Emily cuts in. She's like, I have a question. So you've got all these kids, so apparently you can come in and out of drinking fairly easily, right? Because you can quit when you're pregnant. And then Bron was like, being sober and not drinking are two different things, okay?
Yeah.
And Elizabeth's like, well, what kind of sober are we talking about? And then, which is leading up to their big drug allegation coming soon.
Yeah, and then Bronwyn's like, listen, I don't have to explain alcoholism. If you want, you can Google it. Which is funny because she literally just told Kelly Dodd, you know, you have a national platform and you can say something right now. So I thought that was kind of funny. I mean, like, I understand it, and that's like a thing that has been discussed a lot, but usually in the context of like, why is this racist? Why is it people being like, you know what, I'm sick of trying to explain it. Like, you know, but I think, I don't know. I feel like Bronwyn could have, as Andy said, they're just asking about your experience. You could have just said something.
Well, but she knows they're coming after it. You know, she knows that when you say to somebody, oh, well, what kind of addiction is this? You know, or whatever she said. Like,
that's
what kind of sober are you? Meaning they're about to like start throwing drug allegations at her. Like, she knows that that's coming, you know? So she's like,
yeah, and she can't stop it either, by the way, because it comes pretty hard.
Yeah. So she's like, well, there were 6 years where I wasn't pregnant. And when I did rehab in Miami, I was sober and we had twins. And, you know, like, that's it. And Andy says, well, were you thinking that babies would keep you sober? And she's like, well, I was just feeling good and I didn't want to think about the reasons I drink. I mean, she said on the show that she kept having babies, basically.
Yeah.
To stay sober or whatever.
So now Kelly, you know, Kelly could have, Bronwyn is just doing so terribly this reunion. Kelly really didn't have to do anything. She could have just like laid back and watched just Bronwyn just mess things up. But of course, Kelly jumps in and her take is kind of the worst take I've ever heard. And she's like,
would you expect first, like, anything less from Kelly? I mean, geez.
She's like, well, I'm sad for your kids. I'm sad for your kids. And Bron was like, well, I'm not just an alcoholic. I'm an addict. I'm addicted to sex, addicted to shopping, addicted to alcohol, addicted to being a lesbian, all those things.
Addicted to leading movements. That's also another thing I could get addicted to. And Kelly's like, well, that's everybody,
addicted
though.
Women.
Once I got addicted to making friendship rings out of those twisty ties you get from the garbage bags. Fame, you can get addicted to fame. What about that? She's like, fame, absolutely. And Shannon's like, I told you eyes.
So then Kelly goes, let's be honest. Your alcoholism was just for a story. You just wanted it for a story. And Bron was like, you know what? Fuck you, Kelly. Fuck you. Do not even go there. Do not even go there. I mean, you guys saw me drunk at BravoCon at 7 p.m. You guys saw me drunk.
I mean, yeah, she's but like, we saw like 60 housewives drunk at BravoCon too, to be fair. It's like, you're going to use BravoCon as your example. Do I need to show you another Lisa Rinna clip on a table going, get the fuck on the table?
So basically what comes out of it is that Kelly thinks that Bronwyn is a fake alcoholic.
Yeah, she's faking it for the show. And so she's like, you saw me at BravoCon. And Kelly goes, well, we've all been drunk at 7. It doesn't make me an alcoholic. And she goes, so you think I'm a fake alcoholic? Fuck you, Kelly. Fuck you, Kelly. She's like, oh, so this is the way you talk? She goes, yeah, that's the way I talk. And do you know how dangerous this is to out there to everyone in recovery? You know, like, everyone's sitting there thinking, am I a fake alcoholic? Am I a fake alcoholic too? What is alcoholism? Is it me? And
I love Kelly saying, oh, that's the way you talk? That's the way you talk? Yeah. When one of Kelly's most famous clips that they air over and over and over again is her calling Heather Dubrow at Gut Fitness.
Yeah.
And that's the way you talk?
And also Kelly's, you know, Kelly will never be a lawyer because of the people she chooses to call to the stand. She goes, oh yeah? Well, call Dan at Orange Theory. And he'll tell you that Bronwyn works out every morning. I was working out with you, okay? And Bronwyn's like, well, I was a functional alcoholic. You're a liar. And so the fight is she can't be an alcoholic because she worked out every morning, which...
I know. And Bronwyn goes, this is vile, even for you. And so even Andy goes, well, you know, you can be a functioning alcoholic. Oh, no, at 7 a.m., I never saw her hungover. If anything, I was hungover. Well, maybe because you were hungover, you weren't able to see that she was, like, hungover too, or an alcoholic, yeah. Or a functional alcoholic.
And he's like, yeah, you can be a functional alcoholic. I mean, you can work out in the morning and get blotto at night. Have you seen? I've made a career out of it. All right, do you have CNN?
How do you think she got onto this show, okay? Yeah. So, even Emily's like, oh, don't you remember when she had that weird party last year that she got drunk and woke up on her balcony? Don't you remember that?
And then we get a shot, we get a clip of Bronwyn wasted, like opening her shirt and like shaking her boobs. And Andy's like, well, it seems like you're not a big supporter of her alcoholism or whatever. And Kelly goes, she's just not genuine. You know, her agent told her, clean up your act. And Gina goes, oh, I thought it was your mom that pushed you into it. And Bronwyn's like, well, my mom did tell me that if...
But... Go on.
She said, my mom did tell me if I didn't take everything back I said about her, she would tell everyone I'm an alcoholic. And Kelly's like, so many stories. There's so many stories.
I just want to interject. Is it like a bad thing if people if someone is like sort of exhibiting signs of being an alcoholic and then people in their lives say, you need to clean up your act? Is that like a bad thing? Isn't that actually supporting the fact that they might be an alcoholic if people are like, you need to clean up your act?
Yeah, she was like, oh, everything's so contrived. She's like, oh, passing out from drinking. Oh, having interventions from people. Oh, so contrived. I'm like,
well, I think what she was saying, how I took it, and reading Kelly speak for as long as I have on this show, I was taking it as her saying, your agent was telling you stop being such a fucking mess on TV. And so you came up with a storyline to come on TV and say, look at me, I'm clean. You know, to like make right. It turn it into a hero thing. And so Bronwyn talks about her mom and she's like, well, she's a great grandma. That's fine. And Elizabeth goes, yeah. And she loves attention too, that one. And Kelly's like, yeah, that's where she gets her narcissism.
Yeah. Shannon actually blocked Dr. Deb from Instagram because Dr. Deb was, I guess, so much up her ass. So Andy's like, well, there are parts of your mother's narcissism that you share. And then Bronwyn has kind of like, to me, the line of the episode. She goes, I'm not a narcissist. I was checked for that. I just have a very large ego.
I love I was checked for that. Like you just go in for your allergy tests, you know. Like we're going to inject you. We're going to put a little bit of narcissism on this pen and poke you in the butt with it and see if a rash breaks out. Nope, didn't break out. You check negative for narcissism, okay?
And then Andy goes, well, you don't seem like you're not a narcissist.
And then he saves it by going, I mean, I think we all kind of are. I mean, we're in front of 10 cameras right now. And Bronwyn goes, oh, no, there's a medical difference, Andy. There's having a big ego. I mean, it's a medically verifiable difference, Andy. And Shannon's like, well, I mean, it is apparent to me that your choice is, how can I make myself more famous? And what you and Sean said at my house, you said our favorite thing to do is to go out and get recognized.
Yeah, which... sort of seems like I believe that actually, but I just always find it hilarious when reality stars bicker about who wants to be more like about someone trying to be famous when you're reality stars.
Yeah,
I just find that funny. So then it cuts to Bronwyn and she is pulling on her ponytail. Like I think that she thinks she's climbing Rapunzel's tower at that point.
She really is. Just, she's like
she's just like
it's like milking a cow. So Andy's like, well, for someone coming off their first season on the show, it's not that surprising. And Bron was like, yeah, well, you know what? I did like that at first, but now I don't like it anymore. So that's how I am. And Gina's like, I still like it. You know, you never know living until you get 20% off of every pepperoni you buy at the market. All right.
So, and then Shannon does a thing where it's like, well, I don't even look at social media anymore. I mean, it's like stories and Instagrams and David Bedore with his new child and happy and so many negative thoughts.
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. The apple doesn't far fall from the tree.
The apple doesn't fart fall from the tree either. Fart far from the tree.
Do apples wear masks? So Andy's like, Gina, I thought it was nice that you were supporting Bronwyn. You know, when you hear Kelly questioning her sobriety, what do you think? And Gina's like, you know what? She gave me a lot of what was happening, and I went to those meetings with her, and there is where you see real truths, because no one in there is pretending, Andy. No one. And Emily's like, I went too, and I also saw a very scaled back version of Bronwyn. I was there too. I went to one too.
I also went to New Hips Anonymous. New Hip. So Kelly's like, well, yeah, I mean, a lot of people go to meetings because of court orders. I'm like, yeah, but yes. But I think their point is that she's not going there for a court order. She wouldn't be going. Like, if it were a lie, this is far, right? Like, I think
this is
one
going
thing,
too far. I mean, look, don't question people's fucking alcoholism. Like, what the hell? Like, even if you think that, and I think Shannon phrased it in a much better way, where she's like, well, I think that everything you do for attention, which is true. I mean, Bronwyn started her whole alcoholism journey on the show by telling us in the diary room sessions, she's like, well, you know, we had this party and I was so drunk that I felt miserable. And then I called up my producer and I said, we're doing this as a storyline this season. So it is like very, it's like such a reality thing to do. Like, you know, my storyline this season, alcoholism. She did say that was the thing, but she's not saying she was an alcoholic to get a storyline. You know, she was saying,
yeah.
I'll be honest about it for the season or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I think that like, there's a difference between saying, you know what, I'm going to put this out there and cause it's going to hold me accountable, you know, and we're supposed to give ourselves like, this is like, we're supposed to, you know, give ourselves over to the show in a certain way. I think that's one thing. I think it's another to be like, okay, I am milking this for every bit of attention, or like everything I do, I'm going to say, oh, it's because I'm an alcoholic. If you want to have that argument, I think that's like I don't know if it's necessarily an argument that I use in this context, but like others do. And I wouldn't necessarily begrudge that. But I think that Kelly's argument is that it's just not even real. And oh my God, my doorbell keeps ringing.
Uh-oh. Okay, well, we only have one more paragraph.
It's the biggest paragraph of all.
And he's like, so did anyone know that Bronwyn was battling alcoholism at the time? And Shannon's like, well, I spent a lot of time with her. And I didn't know if I was going to say this, but as a mother, I'm going to. And Bronwyn just goes, like, she knows what's coming. And she's like, when Stella was 14 years old, and Bronwyn's like, oh, shit, here it comes.
She goes, at her very first beach barbecue, which I thought was sort of funny, like, the very first beach barbecue. It's a sacred honor for a child to have her first beach barbecue.
You said, hey, Sophie, if you want the good stuff, give me a call.
And Bronwyn's like, she starts crying. And then it's dun, dun, dun. Coming next week, I can't believe I did that to a child. I'm black.
Thankfully, it's only a two-parter, which I really appreciate because, you know, I think when these are like tight reunions, they're great. Well, we'll just have to see what happens. That's quite a cliffhanger. But in the meantime, tonight is the night for the big Golden Crappies. So go to watchacrappins.com to get squeeze in a few last votes and to get your tickets to watch it. The show starts at 6 o'clock on the West Coast, 9 o'clock on the East Coast. And I'm gonna burp. And it's gonna be so fun. It's gonna be crazy. We don't even know how it's gonna turn out, but we're gonna have a blast as we always do. So come join us for that.
We will talk to you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie, she's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't
touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors,
Nancy Cease and Desisto. Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible edible Matthew Sisters.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. No one makes us feel well like Megan Capsewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture.